The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 21st of October, 2020. On the podcast today, Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel, discusses Novacyt after initiating coverage of them. And we talk about just testing generally, COVID testing and other stocks. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about copper, gold and the following companies: Anglo Asian Mining, Blue Rock Diamonds, Scott Gold and AEX Gold. Plus, as always, at the end of the podcast, I'll be highlighting two lists that you can find on the front page of Vox Markets. In fact, top 10 visions of these lists. I'll be highlighting top five, but that's the most followed companies and also the most liked RNSs. And you can see these on the front page. Plus, you can see lots of other stuff right there. There's an article there, Vulcan to acquire Romar Process Engineering for $500,000. And there's something else there about Guild Sports. There's lots of content right there on the front page. And our COVID-19 index, which is biggest riser on the COVID-19 index today, is Gfinity. So that makes me happy because I own a few shares in those. Biggest faller is Open Orphan, down 7.2%, 25.75. Good news yesterday, but obviously sometimes, you know, the share price rises towards the news because it was rumoured that contract, of course, in the press. So I think the rumour there was out there. So it's going to consolidate a little bit. But Kyle doing a sterling job there. Check that out there at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, fella?
How are you doing, Justin?
Good, yes. Well, I'm happy because I'm a shareholder of Plarium. I've talked about them, you know, on with you as well. We've talked about it for a long time and rising quite strongly. And like I said, for a while, I didn't understand why it wasn't rising quickly because the potential of the market size there. And I was looking at, you know, the amount of MRI scanners in the world, you know, 35,000 apparently. And if they get 1% of that market, which I think, you know, over time, it's pretty doable because, you know, what's the comparison? The comparator here is a 40-year-old tech, which is bad for you, you know. So if they do that, they're worth, you know, a lot of money, you know. And so they're still sub 100 million market cap. They've gone above that, which is nice to see. I mean, of course, they've rallied strongly. They did about over 50% last week, so I expect a bit of a consolidation. But yeah, it seemed to, you know, heading towards where a fair value, I think, you know, where when you look at the potential, you know.
Well, look, we've always liked this stock, and as we've always said, you know, it's finally being recognized by the market, and it's good to see. You know, it was you know, up from whatever it was, 18p only 6 months ago, you know, or 18, just below. I think it was below 20p in March, but you know, a lot of stocks were in March. There's a big hit on stock prices, but you know, it's still gone up at least over two times. From a, let's use the barometer of when they got their phase three trials results, which was in January. That I think their stock rallied to about 30p, 35p, and now we're upwards of 70p. So it's doing well. So we're glad and happy to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I know people can go to your site, can't they, and pick up some research they sign in, and I'm sure you've done previous research on that. But I'm also in there. There's one there in Novacyt, and there's another one where when they did that deal a while back with the NHS, I don't know what it was at then. It was about £5, £6 or something. Yeah. When we saying, why isn't this moving? And it's almost like people didn't read the RNS or didn't believe the RNS or something, because we were saying, you know, it's moved a hell of a lot so far already, so I'm not going to jump in. But it was at like, you know, £5, £6. But finally, it's getting there, and it seems like now it's being pulled towards that £10 level. And that's sort of justified, really, isn't it? But what's his market cap at the moment? Is it about 600 million or something?
It's about 700 million. Yeah, 650, I think, 600 million market cap.
So what's your thoughts? Any more to go here or what?
So, well, we just put out actually a note this morning, which can be found on the SP Angel website. You know, we act for them, so that's. But we, you know, we really like this stock. Always have, and exactly as you said, you know, we have been, you and I have been talking about this for 6 months. This stock, and it's only been going from strength to strength. There was a while there where it rallied to about 500. then came back to about 350, 300. And that was when everyone thought that the pandemic was over, you know, kind of around June time, I think is, and you know, obviously we all want it to be over, but it was, I think, wishful thinking to think that the winter time wouldn't bring a second wave. And here we are, you know, right in the midst of the second wave. And that contract was, you know, a step change for the business. It was effectively a £250 million contract, of which is going to be delivered in a very short span of time. So, you know, the company is seeing that, you know, happen right now. I think the next trigger for the share price, let's keep watching this, because I think, you know, if that second phase to the contract gets triggered, which is, let me just reiterate the contract. So it was a contract with the Department of Health, the DHSC, for 300 PCR machines to be deployed in UK hospitals. Mm-hmm. So that's to bring machine test, COVID testing into nearer the patients in hospitals, right? And as we know, there's been this big problem with, you know, accessing testing, right? So that resolves it, at least in the most key institutions, which is our hospitals. Mm-hmm. But that's only 300 machines, so the first phase of that contract. The contract did say that they have an option to order another 700 machines. There's about 1,300 hospitals in the UK. If it works in the first 300 hospitals, which there's no reason why it shouldn't, you know, it's fairly easy to deploy this technology. You know, it does require some rigor, and you know, in terms of how the machines are run, but it's very doable, if you see what I mean. So once those 300 machines get deployed, it wouldn't surprise me if the next 700 got triggered. So it's already in the contract. My main point is, if that day comes that they trigger that second wave, that's a substantial increase to the first contract. So the first 300 machines, so it's less about the actual machine sales. It's about all the tests that they buy to run on those machines, all of which is from Novacyt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the pull through of the razor blade that is the lion's share of the revenues. So 300 machines, we're £250 million agreed on 300 machines. We can all do the math on what 700 machines, what the implication in revenue terms is, you know? So that's what I'd be looking for. You know, it's already astonishing that the market, you know, took kind of long to acknowledge the £250 million contract, right? That still hasn't fully been priced in. But it's if we see the triggering of the second one, I mean, that's just going to rally the shares much, much further, because it'll be substantially bigger.
Yeah.
It's not in the bag yet. It's in the contract. It's in the RNS. You know, we can all forecast what's going to happen if it works for 300 hospitals. Why wouldn't you do it in every hospital? And that's saying nothing about everything else, right? Care homes, big clinics, and you know, everywhere else they can sell. You know, schools even potentially. You know, there's all kinds of other avenues for sale of those machines. It's clearly there's a deep need for it. But my main point is, if there's a trigger point to see this rally substantially, you know, in the near term, you might see that contract get triggered, you know, sometime in the next quarter or so.
Yeah, yeah. I've just seen I'm not going to say what it is, your target there, but people can go there and see it. But it's north of this. But do you know what's surprising me is how many companies are in the testing now, or trying to get their foot in the doorway for testing, because they understand it's a big market for the short term. And even this week, when did you see that Heathrow, now you can get you can pay for quick tests, and they take 20 minutes, and they're with a company called Collinson, and I've never heard of Collinson, and I realise now it's a very competitive field. So I don't know, is it me, but unless you are like Novacyt, who are already making the cash, already got these contracts, it's going to get increasingly competitive, or it is anyway, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And you're right, Novacyt has a really different position to a lot of these other companies. You know, we've mentioned a few other AIM-listed businesses, and it's not to say we don't like those businesses, but they have had a massive rally on the back of revenues that don't exist yet, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Novacyt's, literally, its revenues are coming through right as we speak, and they're, you know, I don't even think astronomical is the wrong word here. You know, they've seen a ridiculous amount uplift on revenues. You know, and it's only getting bigger with this DHSC, you know, second contract. So.
Yeah.
But long story short, you're absolutely right. For all other diagnostic, you know, players on AIM, which is the market we predominantly look at, there is a danger there. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, if you're not selling now, you might be behind the curve, A, for competitive reasons, and then B, we all expect at some point the wave will pass. And it won't go down to zero. Like in the case of Novacyt, we certainly don't expect it to go down to zero, as in, even if there is a vaccine, it will take a long time before we stop testing for COVID,
yeah.
if ever. Yeah. If ever. Like, you know, there will be a panel of tests in the future. They're called, in Novacyt's case, it's called the respiratory panel, mm-hmm. where someone comes in with the flu or flu-like symptoms into the hospital. You need to know how to treat that patient, whether you treat them for the flu, COVID, yeah. or another respiratory disease, right? So that's a testing panel that won't go away. I don't think ever. I think we'll always now be testing for, you know, respiratory viruses.
Yeah.
And that, so you'll see a fallback in time over, you know, crisis COVID pandemic, you know, we'll move away from that stage, but to a new normal, which is still a substantial, you know, there still will be substantial need for testing, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I agree. But the thing is, like you said, in the stock market, we know it's a lot based on sentiment as well. Now, the fact we don't have a vaccine, a working vaccine yet, but it's coming, means, you know, there's still a big market for testing. Like you say, it'll still be around for a long time, testing. But once we get that vaccine, then there's seen a light at the end of the tunnel. There's almost, it's not a full 100% solution to it, but they will get better and better, the vaccines, like I say. And generally, as we know, if you look at the age groups of people it really affects, then it's, I looked at the stats this week and I was, in fact, I couldn't believe it, because there was let me try and work out in my head, it was basically, of the 50% of the population below the age of 60, you know, only 8% of all COVID deaths, only 8% were below the age of 60. And 88% of those people who died below the age of 60 had a pre-existing health condition. So we know who it affects. So in future, I think testing will only be done on those people in the vulnerable groups. So I think the window, the mass testing will obviously go down, won't it? At the moment, we need, you know, you need testing. There's certain things. You have to fly somewhere, for example, or to get to make sure if you've had it once or second time, you get tested. So everyone's getting tested. A lot of people are getting tested. But that number will go down as vaccines appear. And so sentiment towards testing companies, I think, will. I think we're at the all-time high at the moment, but it'll start to wane slowly, you know? And I think...
Yeah, well, I agree with you in the case of people who aren't selling. Completely agree with you. Definitely in time that, you know, all that, it will find a new normal, right? Yeah. But testing volume will not go back to zero. It'll go back to a place where we're testing for respiratory viruses as a standard anytime someone comes into flu with flu-like symptoms into hospital. Do you see what I mean?
So
in Novacyt's privileged position, where they're already in the NHS and with the DHSC, with their machines out there, you can expect their respiratory panel running on their machines to be the technology of choice, because the government's already set it up that way, right? Do you see what I mean? You know, it may not be the same volumes of peak testing that we're seeing today, but there will be an underlying long-lasting revenue stream there, in my opinion. That's what I think.
Because
you're going to want to know when someone comes into the hospital, and this happens every winter, we have, you know, respiratory diseases. We don't know what they are. You know, whether it's flu, you know, another coronavirus, you know, or other respiratory viruses, or COVID-19, you know, you're going to want to know, sorry, as in SARS-CoV-2, you're going to want to know which virus you're dealing with when someone comes in with flu-like symptoms. And it will, I just don't see it as going away. I think it's going to become a new normal of testing people for viral infections when they come in, so that you can treat them properly. So you can treat them with the right treatment protocol, right? Because it will be different for these different viruses.
Yeah.
There will be different treatment protocols for the different viruses.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, I do see a baseline, but it brings us back to the difference between Novacyt as a well embedded in the NHS supplier to, you know, just, you know, amongst other sources of revenue that they have, but compared to people who are just starting to sell their tests against all these competitors that are now incumbents, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, think about the validation of being in the NHS on such a scale.
Yeah.
You know, that then becomes the metric that you have to, that all other competitors compare against. So Novacyt's privileged position, again, helps them sell tests to others. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? So like they're validated by the UK, by the NHS. So when they go to sell to third parties, including, you know, private clinics or everywhere else, they can point to that. You know, yeah, exactly. So anyway,
they've trodden that path. I get it, and we understand. Novacyt is the leader, and like I say, I think a lot of them are rallying just off the back of the potential. As I said, it's been a 48 bagger so it's done very well.
Just to conclude, Justin, just on that, I know what you're saying, and I just want to conclude on that point, is that there is a big now distinction between Novacyt and the peers that are out there, in that Novacyt is the one, in my opinion, that's here to stay and will continue as the market leader, primary supplier to the UK, to the NHS. Whereas you're absolutely right, when sentiment changes on, say, a vaccine, all the other ones are going to take a hit. And I agree with you. I completely agree with you that there is maybe a reckoning, coming when the vaccine, vaccines can start getting announced.
Pfizer's going to be November. They're saying a couple of other companies will be in November, on December, and they'll start rolling them out. And I think 2021 will be an amazing year for the market and for all the stocks that have been rallied down, because it's just a massive relief. And the fact is, we've got some kind of solution that'll improve. And I feel that now. I feel maximum fear and bad news is already in there as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
And I just think now we're going to get better news or more frequent news on vaccines and therapeutics and all that stuff.
Correct.
And also social distancing testing is going to get better. Get the stage where there'll be a minute test. There'll be a test. It'll be easy then, and we go back to normal. But marvelous stuff. Check that out. So I'm just going to say your website, SP Angel, and just click on research. I think you have to put your email in and tick a box there to get it. But it's there, isn't it? I'll put a link.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Marvelous stuff. Vadim, thanks for that, and we'll speak you next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Now, I know several commodities are rallying. I know there's people on Twitter saying copper's up and gold's up. It's all going well for the commodities, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting market, because some of the commodity experts out there are suggesting that prices have gone too far and ought to be coming down. And I think they're concerned about fundamental demand. But what's been driving prices recently and in the short term is problems with supply, strikes in Chile, and potential for more strike action. Changing face of demand with more people gearing up towards electric vehicle manufacturing and that sort of stuff. And then for me, the big news is that the Chinese renminbi hit a two-year high earlier today. That's partly because the Chinese government relaxed the rules on banks being able to trade the renminbi. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of important. So the Chinese government, which has definitely been manipulating its currency for years, has allowed it to strengthen. My personal view is that China is out there buying lots of food and seed for the next harvest, because so much of their agricultural production has been destroyed by the flooding along the Yangtze. I think those fields along the Yangtze River, which is 6,300 kilometers long, it's a seriously big river. Mm. And so many rice paddies and other types of fields depend on the Yangtze for their water, but unfortunately have been flooded and destroyed. So China is definitely having to buy in lots more food to feed the population, and seed, of course, for the planting of the next harvest. And for those historians out there, they remember when Chairman Mao actually sold the seed for the next harvest after flooding along the Yangtze. I think this must have been back in the 50s. And then then millions of Chinese people starved after that. So it's a big deal for China to get this right and ensure that food prices remain relatively stable and that the population are able to eat.
Yeah. But you were just saying beforehand that even though the commodities are looking good, copper and stuff, there's a mate of yours thinking they're going down for some reason. Why is that then?
Well, as you say, there are always people talking about things going down, and some of these US hedge funds perhaps take a contrarian view and position, and it's not just all about global demand, it's although normally is, it is about the supply situation. And there are quite a number of issues on the supply side in the world right now, in my view. And I do think actually demand's not so bad. I mean, consumer demand looks pretty good around much of the world now. It's a question of what are the manufacturers doing. And I think manufacturing is probably looking to catch up with that consumer demand as fast as it can.
Do you know one of the best things I've ever done is actually unfollow some perma-bays on Twitter, because all they do, and you understand why they do it. It does capture attention. They appeal to the fear, you know, in your heart and your head, and you worry. And you start. I started selling down stuff because I just paid too much attention to some guys on Twitter who constantly are bears, but they're like that all the time. Even during the biggest rallies, they're bears. And you think, what are you talking about? After a financial crash, they say, okay, now we've crashed, it's going to rally. They just keep banging the bear drum. I think, you know, that Nuno Rubini. So, I mean, you're going to be right every now and again. It's like a broken clock, isn't it? You know, if they're a bear for 10 years, surely they're going to get it right. And all of a sudden they say, yeah, see, I told you this was coming. You've been talking about this for the last 10 years. So, you know, they're wrong most of the time. You know, so ignore them. Look at individual companies, I was thinking. You know?
Sometimes you'll get an economist who predicts 12 of the last three recessions.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, no, they mentioned a recession was coming. I know, you know, within a year or 2 years, it's coming, and they keep saying that. And all of a sudden, people forget the times they were wrong, because, you know, the stock market generally goes up. You know, I think it's like 2 out of 3 years the stock market will have good, you know, will go up. So they'll always be wrong the majority of the time. But our fear, it's about fear, isn't it? Sensational. It's like fear sells, you know, worry and all that stuff. It just sells a little bit. Ignore it. You know, I've read, who is it now? One of the best investors, it's a book I read, one of the best investors around for, I think he's passed away now. But when he was asked about his advice, he said, don't pay attention to bears. You're better off looking for new stocks. Just, you know, stocks will do well. He said, I missed out on many a bull run because I just paid too much attention to the bears. And, that's the way forward, really. Opportunity, you know.
There are two expressions in the markets that stick in my mind. One is that bull markets climb a wall of worry.
Mm.
And the other is never sell a bull market.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I just think we're in for a cracking bull market soon. As soon as we get these vaccines out and the economy starts to lift a little bit and we see light at the end of the tunnel and people can sort of go back to normal, I think that the market will rally. And that could be, I think we could have a tremendous Santa Claus rally. You've got several companies reporting on phase 3 trials. And they're already, the results are looking very good from phase 1, phase 2. So I think a couple of those come out. I mean, Pfizer's coming out in November, they said. They pushed it out a little bit. This must be before the vote in America. But Pfizer, mid-November, they reckon if they get clearance from the FDA, and of course it'll be a fast track straight away, they reckon they'll start supplying before the end of November. They've got 100 million doses ready to go. And apparently, UK have got 40 million of those bought. So, that we could see before the end of this year, vaccine in this country, you know? So once we see that, I think...
We look forward to that.
Yeah, Santa rally could be massive, I think. Huge. Anyway, there we go. That's commodities as well. Specific stocks, then, John. You mentioned some kind of dividend on Anglo-Asian. What's happening there?
Anglo-Asian have been hinting at a special dividend. And we've been talking to the board about this for some years. But the board own, I think, around about 40% of the company's shares anyway. And I think they're as keen as anyone to get a special dividend out of the business. They've been working at it for many, many years. The stock's been sold down really on its proximity in Azerbaijan. And it's not that close to the conflict in the disputed territory with Armenia. But shall we say, I think that always knocks investor sentiment. And to me, the shares look like they're very good value at this level, particularly as the company continues to produce gold as it does in pretty good manner. So it's a good little company. They're quite highly leveraged to the gold price, which is good. because gold prices are high, it's a solid business.
It's always good when you have for many reasons when the board have skin in the game, of course, because they're aligned with shareholders, and but especially when it comes to dividends paying, because they'll push for it because they've got shares. I like that. What's next? Blue Rock Diamonds, from gold to diamonds. What's happening, John?
Well, I'm a big fan of Blue Rock at the moment. Really mainly because Mike Houston has gone in there and turned the business around. So they were forever having problems with the mining and the processing. And this is a diamond mining an open cast diamond mining operation. So it's relatively simple. And Mike has got this humming along now, and they've got a phase two expansion, which is being completed hopefully before the year end. Hopefully next year they'll look to move, they'll ramp up to 1 million tons a year of run rate. I mean, it's a big increase on what they've been doing, and recovering more diamonds. They've already improved the shape of the open pit. In fact, they've combined two smaller pits into one big one. That increases the overall quantity of diamonds that they're going to be able to mine from the resource, which is brilliant. And I think, you know, they report today that they've sold another 2,900 carats of diamonds. That was for $300 a carat. I think if they start selling those outside South Africa, I think they'll be back up to somewhere closer to $400 a carat. So what we're looking at is an increase in the revenue per carat and the total number of diamonds being sold. And I think it's going to be a good stock next year.
Yeah. Have you got a chicken in the background?
I've got some builders working.
Oh, some builders. I thought I could hear a chicken. you got a chicken picking stocks. That's good. Back to gold then. You mentioned Scott Gold. What's happening there?
Scott Gold, they came out with an earnings update yesterday. They've just raised £3 million in the market. It's a popular stock. People complain a little bit about the liquidity, but that's mainly because the investors who own it don't want to sell it. But they're going into production in November, and that's pretty exciting. There are a lot of Scottish people queuing up to buy the gold coming out. So we do expect Scott Gold to sell its gold at a premium. We don't build that into our modelling or anything like that, but we certainly see value in this company. And it's very nice to see a new gold mine starting up in the UK.
Yeah. And talking of gold, there's a company you mentioned before we came on, AEX Gold, ticker is AEXG. What are they about?
They've taken on the old Nanaluk gold mine in Greenland. That used to be operated by Angel Mining. Angel messed up when the gold price was nothing like it is now. And they messed up with a fuel delivery, which meant that everything ground to a halt. And if you're running a mine with fixed costs and everything stops because your fuel hasn't arrived on time, then you go bust really fast. And very sadly, that's what happened to them back in 2013. I also think they had a few management issues there, which are hopefully long in the history of the business. So AEX Gold have taken on the project. They are drilling it. They're drilling two veins. In fact, there's a second vein that they've identified, which is a parallel structure. And it sounds very exciting. I mean, some of the grades here, 120 grams a ton, 46 grams a ton, 20 grams a ton. I mean, they're very, very nice for mining. And there's visible gold in the ore as well, which means that the processing is much easier. So, yeah, AEX has got a decent market cap at about £85 million. But this is definitely one to watch. It could be a very interesting company going forwards.
Marvellous stuff. Well, you must be doing quite well, John, because you've got some builders there doing extension on the extension on the extension, are they?
No, we're just refurbishing a bathroom which had completely died. So,
oh, okay.
It's nothing spectacular.
All right, marvellous. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Escape Hunt. It's up. I've done a bit of coverage of that. I own shares in that company. I'm glad it's in the most followed list. That's a good sign. Up 8.3% to 9.75 on the chart. First time ever. It's been above the 200-day moving average. It closed yesterday above it, and it's above it now, which is a very bullish indicator. At four, Salt Lake Potash, down 0.8% to 31.5. At three, Tullow Oil, up 27%, 21 pence. At two, New Formix. It's down today, but it did jump yesterday, I think. 8.4% down, 3.8 pence. And at one, Vela Technologies, up 22% to 0.09 pence. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, it is Tizian Life Sciences, exercise of options. At four, W Resources, Q3 production report. At three, Seeing Machines, C signs MOU with L3 Harris Technologies. At two, Salt Lake Potash, notice of AGM. Okay, and at one, it's Alba Mineral Resources, and that is an update on underground program at Clogai Mine in Wales, gee, Welsh Wales. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.